Christmas, everybody. Really good to see you. If you are a child and you would like to come forward and bob yourself down on the bench, there's a little bit of space and there's an opportunity to do that now. If you're an adult and there's one of those blue Bibles on a chair near you, why don't you grab that and turn back to Isaiah 9, which is on page 694. Any children want to come forward? Well done. So if you've got a Bible, turn back to that reading that we read earlier, Isaiah chapter 9, page 694. Before we look at that, why don't we pray? So let's pray together and ask for God's help. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the opportunity to be together, to sing songs, to listen to the puppets, to read the Bible, and we ask that you would help us now to understand what Christmas is all about. And we pray in Jesus' name, amen. So does anyone on the front benches know how many sleeps there are until Christmas Day? Yes, Josh. 12 sleeps until Christmas Day. Anyone know how many hours that is? That is 277 hours or 16,620 minutes. Now that might sound like a long time, but it's not really. You guys have only got a few days left of school. You've then only got a few days left to finish, maybe even start, your Christmas shopping. Just a few days left. Christmas Day is getting closer and closer and closer. And actually, do you know what? I'm beginning to panic. I'm beginning to panic because I have got so much to do and so little time. I've only got 16,000 minutes. And so I need a bit of advice. I need a bit of advice for you this morning. I need to do Christmas properly, and I was wondering if you could help me. First thing I need help with is the food. I just can't decide what my wife should cook. So should she barbecue burgers, or should she roast a turkey? What's the right thing to do on Christmas Day, Joey? Roast a turkey. Okay, thank you. Thank you. I'll get Charlotte to roast a turkey. Okay, the second thing. I just can't decide what should be number one on my playlist. What music should we have? And I've got two songs that I just can't decide which one should be number one. And we'll listen to them, see if you can tell me what they are, and then which one I should pick. So let's hope the technology's on our side. Here we go, number one.
Going on a summer holiday, no more working for a week or two, fun and laughter on a summer holiday.
Brilliant. Okay, let's listen to number two. Oh. Okay, can anyone tell me the name of the first song? Yes. Do you know the name of the first... Not the name of the first song? Anyone? Nehemiah, do you know? Summer Holiday. Anyone know who that was by? Who sang that? Any of the adults want to tell me? Bit of Cliff Richard. Okay, so Summer Holiday by Cliff Richard. And the second song... Anyone tell me the name of the second song on the bench here? Yes, Isabel. Joy to the World. Which one should I have as number one on my playlist? Isabel. Joy to the World. Okay, great. Thank you for that piece of advice. Last piece of advice. What about TV? I just can't decide. What would my wife prefer to watch? Would she prefer to watch the Doctor Who Christmas special or the Downton Abbey Christmas special? Actually, I don't need your help with that one. I know. She would far prefer to watch the Doctor Who Christmas special. The point is, there are certain things that are very proper when it comes to Christmas, like roast turkey and Christmas carols and Christmas specials on TV. And there's one more thing that's very proper when it comes to Christmas, and that's the season of year. So which is the right season for us to celebrate Christmas? In the bright, sunny summer or in the cold, dark winter? When should we celebrate Christmas? Yes, what's your name? In the cold, dark winter. What's your name? Sorry.
Emily.
Emily. Brilliant answer. In the cold, dark winter. proper Christmas happens in the bleak midwinter. And that's actually what the Bible says. Proper Christmas happens in the winter. And for a few minutes this morning, we're going to explore that reading. A reading which predicts the birth of Jesus Christ 700 years before it actually happens. It was written by a man with a slightly odd name called Isaiah. And he says Christmas starts in the winter. Not because of the snow, but because of the darkness. The first sentence that was read to us, that was written by Isaiah, uses the word darkness twice. Chapter 9 of Isaiah verse 2 says this. Words on the screen. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. Now, he does talk about light, and we'll get back to that in a moment. But darkness is the background to Christmas. That's actually true for a lot of people at this time of year. Christmas can be really difficult for the poor, or the sick, or the lonely. Anyone want to guess how many people you think are in this room? How many people do you think are in this room? Thought I wouldn't have many volunteers for this question. Anyone want to guess how many people are in this room? Faith, how many people do you think are in this room?
100.
Brilliant guess, 100. Anyone else want to have another guess? How many people are in this room? Any children at the back? Jamie? 150. There you go, sir. Oh, almost. Last guess, Ella? 60 or something? Do you know what? I don't know the answer. Doesn't really matter. Let's imagine there are 100 people in this room. Let's imagine that first answer that Faith gave us was right. There's 100 people here. Anyone want to guess how many out of that 100 people aren't really looking forward to Christmas? How many people aren't really looking forward to Christmas? What do you think?
Three?
Maybe three. Probably pretty good guess. Charlie, how many people do you reckon? Five, maybe. What do you think? One more.
Seven.
Well, do you know what? According to one survey, where they asked lots of people how many of them are looking forward to Christmas, 18 people out of 100 said they're not looking forward to Christmas. They actually said they're dreading Christmas. Because for lots of people, Christmas isn't a time of happiness, it's a time of hurt. Maybe you're here this morning and Christmas is a really difficult time. Well, the Bible says if that is you, you're not on your own. The background to Christmas is darkness. Darkness. The question is, what do we do about that darkness? What do we do about the darkness? And one option for us is to say, let's go to the shops. Let's give people presents. Presents will cheer people up. Everybody here knows that presents make people happy. I think I can prove that. I've got a present here. And I'm sure if I was to have any volunteers to open my present and they had it and I said, do you know what, this is for you, I'm sure it would make them happy. Who can I rely on at this point? Dan, up you come. So Dan, here is a gift from me to you. I'd love you to open it, and I'd love you to have it. Go for it, open it now. You can do with those whatever you like, Dan. Why don't you hold them up and show people what it is? Dan, does that make you at all happy? Yes, that makes Dan happy. Let's give Dan a round of applause. Take a seat, Dan. One way of dealing with the darkness is to go to the shops to give people presents. That will cheer them up. Definitely something right about that option. We're not meant to be Scrooges. Even Isaiah, do you remember him, the man with the slightly odd name? He was looking forward to a future with joy. So if you've got a Bible, have a look down at verse 3. He uses the word rejoice 3 times. And then in verses 4 and 5, he describes a scene where there is no darkness left at all. Where war will cease and where the world will celebrate. There'll be no need for a soldier's uniform. Every boot used in battle and every garment rolled in blood will be fuel for a great big bonfire because there will be a party. Jesus himself looked forward to a future of partying with feasting and family and fun. A time of real joy. So shopping and giving people presents is great. Rejoicing is what each and every one of us was made for. But I think, maybe you'll agree with me, but if going to the shops and giving people presents is our only option to deal with the darkness, we're going to come up against some big problems. Anyone know what this is?
Woods.
It is woods. It is woods. But where has this woods come from? An evergreen tree. Do you know which evergreen tree this could possibly have come from? How might I have got hold of it? Do you know, Isabel? Bit of a hard question. Bad question. This is a part of my Christmas tree from last year. My Christmas tree from last year. Anybody know what this is? Really? It's a baby toy. Yes, this was a baby toy that one of my children received last Christmas. What's the problem with it? Joey, do you know? JJ, do you know? No more shapes left. Anybody know what this is? It says Nat West at the top. Do you know what it is? That is a piece of paper, yes. It's a very serious piece of paper. Joshua, do you know? That is a bill. That's my credit card bill from last January. You see, the joy of shopping doesn't last very long. My Christmas tree, which was so beautiful last year, is now part of my woodpile. And the presents, which were so beautiful last December, that's from John Lewis, have now been broken or lost or stolen or upgraded. Plus, if you're an adult, in January, the credit card bill hits the doormat and all of a sudden the joy of shopping seems to vanish. The joy of shopping doesn't really last that long. That's one problem. But there's actually an even bigger problem than that. Do you remember how Isaiah says, we live in a land of deep darkness. Deep darkness. And in another Bible, another translation, it says, we live in the land of the shadow of death. Death. 500,000 families in the UK this year will have an empty chair at Christmas. And going to the shops and giving people presents, we all know, doesn't deal with the deep darkness. So we're still left with our big question. What do we do? What do we do about the darkness? And here's another option. We don't just go to the shops, but we go to the stable. We go to the stable because in the stable, there is a great light. In the stable, a light dawned. That's where the light first appeared. A light that would destroy the deep darkness. Isaiah, the man with an odd name, he finishes his famous Christmas reading by talking about the birth of a baby boy. Have a look at verse 6 if you've got one of those Bibles. For to us, this is what it says, for to us a child is born, to us a son is given. Now that might seem a bit weird. How can the birth of one little baby boy cause war to cease? And the world to celebrate. Well, adults, have another look down at verse 6. This baby boy, guys, isn't just any old Tom, Dick, or Harry. In fact, the names that Isaiah gives to this baby boy are staggering. He calls this baby boy a wonderful counselor, mighty God, everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Isaiah, 700 years before Jesus, said, one day, mighty God, the everlasting God, is going to come. And when he comes, he is going to destroy the deep darkness of death. He is able to save people, and he is willing to save people. Now, here are three pictures of three very popular Christmas toys this year. Anyone tell me what they are? Starting with the top left. Anyone not answered? Yes, sir, what do you think? Top left. Do you know what that is? Not sure? Can you tell me either of the other two? Hold on to that thought. Hold on, because I'll come back to that. Tell me one of them. Lightsaber. Top left. What about top right? Anyone know the name of that? Yes. Do you know who he is? R2-D2. Share them. You can have one as well. Look at that. Christmas, I'm generous. Anyone not answered? Jake, yes, the bottom one. Who's that? That is Darth Vader. That's a Lego Darth Vader. They're three very popular Christmas toys this year. And we had an answer. Do you know what film that's from? They're all from what film? You said it a moment ago. Good man. They're all from Star Wars. Did you know every single Star Wars film starts in the same way, with the same 10 words? Anybody know what they think those 10 words are? Josh? Nice try. Not may the force be with you. Bethany? Well done. A long time ago in a galaxy far, far away. Well, a long time ago, about 2,000 years ago, in our galaxy, in a place called Bethlehem, which is in the country of Israel, Isaiah's promise came true. In history, a child was born, a son was given, and a man called Luke wrote about what happened. I'm going to read just one verse. Mary gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger. He was named Jesus. Jesus is the promised Christmas child. He is the light of the world. Jesus came to destroy the deep darkness of death, and he was given to us. That's what Isaiah says. He was given to us. So this Christmas, of course, it's important to get it right. The food, the music, the TV. Go to the shops, get the presents in. But don't forget to go to the stable. There is a gift for each one of us there. And tied around the ankle of Jesus Christ is a gift tag. And it says to Jack, to Oliver, to Charlie, to Emily, to Poppy, to Sophie, to whoever you are, whatever your name is, it says it's to you. And it says this, to you, a child is born, a son is given. And at the bottom, it's signed. It tells us who it's from. Molly, can you read who it's from? With all my love, God. At that first Christmas time, God gave us the greatest gift we can imagine. God gave us himself. So this Christmas, there may be darkness in the present, but God promises if you go to the stable and receive the gift that he has given, the future is one full of light. Jesus Christ came to destroy the deep darkness of death. He came to bring joy and peace that lasts for eternity. The greatest gift we could ever imagine. Why don't we take a moment's quiet? Then we'll sing our last carol. Okay, we're going to stand and sing Joy to the World. So when the music starts, let's stand and sing together.